The title of my sermon today makes an interesting proclamation. It says, and I quote, "Your home, not in Rome." There's an old phrase that many of you may be familiar with, which says, and again I quote, "Do as the Romans do." Anybody know that phrase? I see some heads nodding. And so if I were to ask you, what does it mean? In short, it means that when you are visiting a place that's foreign to you, in most cases a foreign land, it says that we should follow the customs of those who are living there. Now, this phrase is not a bad one when it's done in the right way and in the right context. Because for those of us who have traveled outside of the country, when you find yourself in an unfamiliar situation, it would make sense for you to do as the natives do, do as the Romans do, when you don't know where you should or should not go. Or when you go to find something to eat, it would be wise if you ordered what everyone else is eating as opposed to experimenting with something that you don't know what it is. It's also wise to do as the Romans do. When you decide that you want to go shopping, don't wander off into some little shop on a side street, but go where the crowd is going to shop. And even when it comes to just simply being safe, I would encourage anybody who's traveling abroad to not make it a habit of wandering off and venturing off on your own, but stay with the crowd. If you see people who live in a particular place not going down a street or a dark alley, I would strongly recommend you're not doing it either. Now, in all these cases, it's good to follow the directions and the examples of those who live there. But there are times when doing what others are doing is not a good thing to do. And in the case of our faith, it's actually not acceptable in the eyes of God. Take, for example, what's going on in our Old Testament scripture in the book of Jeremiah that we read just a short while ago. Here we find the people of Israel at the end of their time of punishment. Just a little backstory. They had fallen away from God, as they often do. And the way God punished them this time was that he allowed King Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonian army to come in, to take them captive, and to distribute them amongst the cities and the towns as servants and slaves for their people. And as time went on and they reached the end of their punishment, God sent a letter to the prophet Jeremiah telling him to tell the prophet, to tell the elders and the leaders of the people of Israel that it's time for them to get back to living. Their punishment is over. And in that message, God told them all, he said, well, it's your time now to reestablish your life again. So begin to live as if you were home. He said, begin to allow your children to marry other children so that they too can have children and you can expand your family. He said, begin to build houses now that your captivity is over. And just simply make where you are your home. Pay your taxes to the places that you're living. And become a part of that society in such a way that you are supporting what's going on. Because if they prosper, you also will benefit from it. And then the warning that God gave them was that as you are reestablishing your lives, as you are building up your homes, as your children are marrying, as you are getting yourself together, as you are supporting the place where you live. He then told them to make sure that you do not become a part of that society in such a way that you turn your back on what God expects of you. Remember always that you are people of God, and it is your obligation, not an option, but it's your obligation to follow the word of God and live as people of God. Beloved people, as the people of Israel heard this message, and this was recorded in the Old Testament writings, the Apostle Paul found himself in a similar situation some many centuries later. And it was this word from God, this letter to the people of Israel through Jeremiah, that inspired Paul to stand firm with the people of who had just become followers of Christ, who were under persecution, who were in a place where society was telling them that this is how we want you to live, even though they knew that God had called them to a higher standard, even though they knew that they were to follow the teachings of Christ Jesus. They decided that they needed to be firm, and Paul went to bat for them. Paul stood with them, though he was a Roman citizen, though he could have walked away from persecution at any time. Paul decided that he would not back down or compromise what he believed. He was not willing to do as the Romans do, by pretending that he was something other than a child of God. Paul was willing to put his life on the line and suffer for the sake of standing with those who were faithful followers of Jesus Christ. And then I pause for a moment and I ask the question, as I look out into the world today, where are we in the midst of all of this? How are we living our faith? Are we the type of people who only profess that we are people of God when it's convenient or safe? Like on Sunday mornings when we come to church and we gather in this beautiful sanctuary with one another, in a place where we know that no one else in this room is going to question our relationship with God or how we celebrate our understanding of Christ in our lives. But are we willing to stand firm on our faith and in what we believe when we go outside of these doors? When we encounter people who would question our faith, who would challenge our faith, who would try to convince us to do as the Romans do by telling us that we should be a part of society and don't worry about all that religious-y stuff or following God or to keep your faith to yourself. It's only good in one place, and that's in your church on Sunday morning. Are we willing to do as Paul and stand against what we know is wrong to celebrate a God who gave us everything to do what is right? As you think about your answer to this question, and you think about what Paul said to the people who were trying desperately to stay faithful to what they had learned, hear his closing remarks to them. He says, and I quote, "Here is a trustworthy statement. If we die with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we disown him, he will also disown us. If we are faithless, he will remain faithful, for he cannot disown himself." And then he finishes with this: "Keep reminding God's people of these things. Warn them before God against quarreling about words. If it is of no value and only ruins those who listen, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed of who correctly handles the word of truth. By living and by being a child of God who lives your faith as if you were in Rome, doing as the Romans do, picking up the customs and the traditions and the ways that society does things, there are two things that you risk losing. The first one is that you risk losing your blessings and being cut off by God. If you turn your back on God, why should God continue to bless you? The second thing is that when we try to play this little game of being faithful to God on Sunday, but a part of society on Monday through Saturday, there's a slight possibility that we could get so caught up in that other lifestyle that we'll lose our way. And when we come back on Sundays to worship God, what we do here will become meaningless because we're so caught up in what's happening out there, and we'll start to question what we're called to do in here. Beloved people of God, though we live in this world that would encourage us to turn our backs on what we believe in Jesus Christ, I will encourage you today to do just the opposite of that. We can't help living in this world because it's the only planet we got right now. I know they're trying to build colonies on the moon and Mars and all that stuff, but this is all we got. But by living here doesn't mean that you have to be a part of all the things that are going on in the world that we know are negative or bad or bitter. And so it's with that that I challenge each and every one of us to continue to stand firm in what you believe and what you know and continue to do what's right. My brothers and sisters, home is where your heart is. And if your heart is in Christ Jesus, you can be sure that you'll always be encouraged to do the right thing, even if you're in Rome, even if you're amongst people who would coerce you to go in another direction. And so it's with that that I want to encourage you to continue to live as children of God, no matter where you are. Talk to God, no matter where you are. And don't matter who you're with, talk to God. Go to church. Go to Sunday school. Go to Bible study. Go to prayer service. But don't just do it for yourself. Bring somebody along with you. Tell them about how exciting it is to be a child of God and all the wonderful things that you have done as a part of that. I'm sure if I were to ask everybody in the room to share with me your story, everyone can probably point out at least one time in their life when they found themselves in a situation and the only way they got through it was by God's faith. Share that story, because there are others in this world that are struggling to figure it out. And then, of course, last but not least, don't be ashamed to share the good news of the gospel with anyone who's willing to hear it. Don't be a bully. Don't force them to listen to you. But if they seem interested, share it with them. You'd be surprised how many people are just waiting for an invitation. They're hungry to learn what you already have learned. And then turn away from the things of this world that would try to control you. And tell those who make you all kinds of offers to sort of lure you away from what you know is right, and to lure you away from the church, and to lure you away from all the things that you believe, just simply tell them, thanks, but no thanks, because God has something better for me. Beloved people of God, if you can do all those things, then and only then will you be able to truly experience all the joys of being a child of God, receiving all of the blessings that God has in store for you. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for being with us always, for giving us the strength to stand firm, for giving us the words to say when we feel lost and abandoned, and for helping us through those challenging times, and for never turning away from us, even though we sometimes fall away from you. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.